White Network presents Saturday Afternoon with Carolyn. Here's your host, Carolyn Yeager.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Saturday Afternoon with Carolyn, and the topic today is frictions in the Eurozone. And I have Gunter Deckert trying to call in. Let's just talk about it. I won't even introduce Gunter at this point, since he's not here. But I will say that to begin with this topic, what we're going to talk about is the problems in the Eurozone and how it is looking. And momentum is growing for a referendum in Germany. That's one of the good items of news on creating closer European Union ties. Whether you know, we know that there's a lot of criticism of what's going on, and we know that all the countries, including Germany, are moving closer and closer and closer to this idea of euro bonds, in which every lax nation that is not getting their getting their bills paid or is in trouble. And I know there's a lot of different opinions about why that is so. And that's why I've got my email open. And if anybody wants to send in an email and disagree with anything I'm going to be saying, you go ahead and do that. Because I know there's a lot of sympathy for these countries that are in such bad debt and blaming it onto the banks, and that Germany is just cooperating with the banks and as is all of the countries that aren't having so much trouble, although they all are, except Germany, although we're going to see that Germany is also starting to feel the stress of all of this. So Chancellor Angela Merkel's government is talking a little bit about support for a referendum, but I don't think she's very serious about it, because she's talking out of both sides of her mouth, and there's nothing new about that. But the people who are calling for a referendum, which would however take a couple of years or something to ever get it, or longer than that, 5 years maybe, to get it, you know, to organize the whole thing, which is kind of ridiculous. So what's going to happen between now and then? Is one of those is Reinier Brüderle, parliamentary leader of the ruling Free Democrats and a former economy minister. He said on Friday that Germany could reach the stage at which a referendum on Europe becomes necessary. And another good person in this whole thing is Horst Seehofer, the head of the Christian Social Union, who is the Bavarian, which is the, it's supposed to be the sister party to Merkel's Christian Democrats, but it's in Bavaria. But they are often take better stances than Merkel's party does. But they say that ordinary Germans should be consulted more on big European decisions. And also another one is Finance Minister Wolfgang Schäuble, who is very connected with the banks, of course, but he's also said a referendum may be required. Now, I don't know if they're saying all these things to settle down the German people, to keep the German people feeling like they're looking to doing something right for them, or you know, that I always have this suspicion, because these people are very much in the camp of the globalists, and they also say they want to save the European Union no matter what, and they even want to save the euro too, no matter what, almost. And yet they give this talk about a referendum, which would be fairly far off into the future. And maybe just in order to placate the people. There is a ruling coming up in the Constitutional Court in Karlsruhe, which is on September 12th, which is going to rule on a European pact on budget discipline and the region's new bailout facility, the European Stability Mechanism, which I hope you're familiar with that. That is the thing that they have had voted in there in order to put everybody puts a lot of money into it. Depending on how wealthy they are. So the German taxpayers will be the biggest contributors. And this is at the final stages here, on this European Stability Mechanism. It's pretty well sure that it's going to go through. It's just got to, you know, go through this court ruling, I guess. But the Merkel has agreed to it. So, and, I think they're already putting the money into it. I'm not sure, but, you know, I mean, there was one previous to this one. This is the latest, the newest one, which is, a lot higher amounts of money. And the, this is something that will, whenever any country in the Eurozone that is a part of the Euro gets, in trouble, they can borrow money from this fund. They call it a mechanism. And the fund can never go empty. So no matter how much money is needed, the countries, have to make sure that it gets put in there so that there's a sufficient amount in there. That's why it's a mechanism. It's automatic. So once the Constitutional Court in Karlsruhe, as far as I can see, approves this, rules in favor of it, which the politicians have all agreed to. I'm saying the German politicians. Of course, all the other politicians have. Then the only countries that, let's say, a nation that is fiscally solvent and that has some money, or not even money, has credit. You know, Germany still has a AAA credit rating. So it's all done on credit too. You put it in there and you are then responsible, for it. It's like a debit for you, Germany would have said, okay, we'll make that good. You know, we'll make this good. We don't have the money right now, but, you know, we'll borrow it. So then Germany has to keep borrowing, you know, issuing bonds and so on until their credit rating goes down and they have to pay more. So this is a real problem for the German people, and they're not happy with it at all. And they're trying to, you know, push it through, because, Merkel has agreed with the other leaders, particularly Holland and France and so on, to do it. So this is the juncture that they're at right now. And all these news stories are coming out about, well, what's going to happen, what they're going to do, and who thinks what. And all these politicians are now talking about a referendum as though it's really going to make any difference. So I think they're just not only just placating the people, but protecting themselves. It says right here that a plebiscite would probably not take place for years. But opinion polls show, of course, that the public supports the idea of a referendum. Because what's worse than the European Stability Mechanism, which is going to go through and is going to put the Germans on the hook in the way that I just told you, is European-wide bonds, which Merkel is still saying no to, but she keeps getting closer to it. We'll look at that. You know, they say, well, she keeps agreeing to a little more and a little more in that direction. But she doesn't want to say that she would ever actually do that. So what we have is that the opinion polls and talking about a referendum, and the people want a referendum. And now now it says that we've got the pro-integration parties and the Eurosceptic parties, you know, the pro-Euro parties and the skeptics opposition. And a leader of the opposition Social Democrats, which is farther left and more pro-Euro. Well, I don't know if he could be more pro-Euro than Merkel's Christian Democrats, really. They're all pro-Euro. But he's backing the idea of a referendum. Well, sure, you know, that's just to make them look good. I don't put any stock in that at all. And it's admitted that the powers of the countries, including Germany, have been gravitating away from national parliaments and towards Brussels during this three-year-old Eurozone debt crisis. And when they bring up a financial crisis, then they say, well, we have to do this because otherwise somebody's going to go, you know, belly up, and we can't allow that. And all this 3 years, it's been, we can't allow Greece to go to drop out of the Eurozone. Why not? But anyway, they say that. Then we can't allow Spain. We can't allow Portugal. We can't allow Ireland. We can't allow any of these things. So just a little more money until they get on their feet again. Well, here we are now, 3 years later, and all these countries are still getting in more and more. They're worse off than ever. And who's left there holding the purse is Germany. And if Germany doesn't open up the purse and just give everything out to all these people, all these other nations, then they are being called, oh, the Nazis rise again and the Third Reich or something. They want to be the dictator. They don't want to help anybody out. I don't know how they tie in being fiscally, what they tie in is that, how they tie it in is that, well, these Germans just don't care about anybody but themselves. That's how they tie it in. Just like the Nazis. You know, see, Germany, and I would really like to have, Gunter here to talk about this, and I know he's available, but we can't get him. I hope somebody's working on this in the background, but I doubt it. So I will try at the break. That's all I can do right now, if he's still around. I'd really like to get his comments on this. I know you would like to hear them, but unfortunately, he's calling again. There he is.
Hello.
There we got on. All right.
Fine. All's well that ends well.
I know, Gunter, that you are a very easygoing, happy guy. You don't let these things bother you, whereas I get really kind of upset about it and frustrated. But okay, you're right. It is well. You know, somehow, I know what happens. If we don't make a good connection before the show starts, people start calling, the guest starts calling, and then then they'll recall on the same call. And that doesn't go to the white network. It goes just to me or something. I'm not clear how that happens, but I know it doesn't work. Let me close this down. What would you like? Have you been listening? And would you like to comment on what I've said so far?
Okay, it's fine.
Would you like to comment on what?
Yes.
Okay, and let me just remind people now that you're here that you are.
I'm ready.
Yeah, I know you are. You're the former leader of the National Democratic Party of Germany, which is the oldest right-wing political party in Germany. It's called the NPD. It's the best known, and it's the one that's most attacked all the time. And it's in the Federal Republic they call it extremist right, even though it's just right. And so, you know, you have kept abreast of everything. You've been I'll ask you about this other later. So let's stay on track here with what I've been saying, and you go ahead and comment on it. Okay, go ahead, Gunter.
Yes, what do you want me to say now? I didn't understand quite what is your answer. What is your question?
Okay, what I have been saying so far, did you have any comment that you want to make about what I said so far?
Okay, yes. Well, as to the NPD, right, you are here. It's called a radical party or right-wing party. And so it is, or they call themselves a National Democratic Party, but Shuiz, it's a nationalist party. I would stress it's a nationalist party, and even in English terms, it might be called a white racial nationalist party, because it stands for Germany for the Germans. We are not a country to welcome immigrants from all over the world, because we are densely populated and enough problems, and that is one of the main topics the party is standing for and is fighting for. And so, due to the political correctness of our days, it is attacked from every side possible. Those in power, liberals and bourgeois conservative, those in the opposition, the socialists and the Greens, they all stand for an open Germany, welcome from everybody living on our soil and causing a lot of trouble, unemployment, riots, crimes, while costing a lot of money. And which is new now, there are a lot of black immigrants now. And I don't see how these people can enrich Germany, and they only live on welfare.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this fiscal business I was talking about and the frictions in the Eurozone. So if you were listening to what I was saying, and we are going to get into some of these other topics later, and we've got plenty of time, so I've got, you know, some other stories. But we started out with this
Euro crisis
and the idea of a referendum, which I was saying it seems to be just talk to placate the people, because it wouldn't take place for several years anyway. What's going to happen in the meantime? In the meantime, we're right on the brink of pushing through this European stability mechanism for final, you know, for actual law in Germany. And then after that, it goes to the euro bonds, which Merkel is weakening on, which puts Germany as the ones who still are fiscally sound as being the main one that has to guarantee that all the rest of the Eurozone members don't go bankrupt, which they will anyway, eventually.
Yes. Okay. You said Germany is fiscally sound. That is wrong. So the German industry does good, and our exports are not too bad. There, I think it's now in the 15th year. Every year, each government, be it conservative, liberal, or socialist, green, or something like that, well, has made debts. At least, let's say, 30 billion a year. So the income taxes, well, you can say, are very, very good. The governments, not only now the Merkel government, made debts over a long period of years. Though I got here a letter from a professor of economics dated last June, the official German state debts, that is not counting the debts of the local councils, of the counties, of the different lender, is more than 2 trillion. It's in German, it's billion. That is 2,000 billion euros, actually. And you can't say we have a sound fiscal basis. And
2,000 billion euros. Wow.
Yes. And let's say if we talk, or let's if we chat or discuss for about an hour, in each second, keep in mind, in each second, the state debt, the official state debt, the federal government, will go on of about 1,500 euros. In each second, the debts go on with 1,500 euros. That is, in 60 seconds, 1,500, and in an hour, well, it's terrible.
Well, and to a frugal person like yourself, and I am also, that is just, you know, it's not just shocking. It's very, very upsetting.
Yeah. The only thing to know, let's say about 2 years ago, there was a kind of, let's say, small, I wouldn't say an uproar, but an unrest amongst some leading figures of the establishment, most of them professors of economics or businessmen, middle-class businessmen. And they, it's not possible that the southern countries of the Eurozone, especially Greece, and now Italy as well, can't live on the expense of the Germans. And keep in mind, all dear listeners, there's one good sentence in an article of the Neue Zürcher Zeitung, the new Zurich newspaper, one of the leading ones in the German cultural sphere. The euro will exist as long as the Germans are willing to pay for it. Mm-hmm. You remember, if it only exists as long as the Germans are willing, are ready to pay for it. And now there are tendencies to split up the Eurozone into a northern one, let's say German-dominated one, a Germanic Euro, Netherlands, Belgium part, Luxembourg, Germany, Austria, and maybe Finland. That's it. France, well, they are in two minds. But without Spain, Italy, and Greece, and all those new countries from these, as in Slovenia. Slovenia is going bankrupt. It was once a kind of model state entering the Eurozone. Now it's going bankrupt. Slovenia.
I have to interject here that Adolf Hitler, his idea for Europe, before war broke out and tore everything up, but he still kept that idea, was to have a united Europe with the Germanic or northern countries, with the northern countries having more say in how it was run and, you know, running it and so on, but including everyone, including all of Europe, except not some that were over, way over to the east, but Eastern Europe, including all of that, only they wouldn't have as much say. But what's gone wrong with this European Union is that it's based on the idea of equality. So everybody has to be treated equally, and what has happened is that the non-northern countries, let's say, or whatever they are, have drained financially all the rest.
And
they've been allowed to do it because nobody could say, oh, well, you're not behaving, you know, excuses were made, just like we made, you know, in all our nations. Excuses for people who can't do what others can do and say, oh, well, it's not your fault. You got a bad start, or you had a lot of trouble earlier, or it was the communists who ran your country before. So you need extra help, extra help, extra help. And we see how that works out.
Yes, but that's also very important. There's a big difference or gap of mind, of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
The Northerners have another look on life. The Southerners prefer living, above all, on the cost of other people. And the discipline, the work discipline, is different too. Though you can't match things that don't match. You can match the economy of Austria, which is German, Netherlands, France, well, there's something in between. But it's not possible to mix the work discipline, the fiscal mentality, with the Europeans of the fatherland. It's Spain, Portugal, and Italy, and Greece. And that was the big mistake. And now what some are interested in is that we have that kind of fiscal union that means or that implies that Germany, though the German voters can't do anything against it, is paying for the mistakes, the errors and the faults of those states who tricked to get in the uni, and most of them helped by former CEOs employed by Goldman and Sachs. That was the case of Greece. And now the number one in Italy is a former number one man of Goldman Sachs in Europe, this Monti. You see, the interests of the global bankers or banksters and some politicians who spent more money on different, actions or jobs and things like that without looking at the income taxes. And as part or as a member of the European Union, they got slow interest rates. And therefore, they could get money from the international market. And now that's over. Well, and they are bankrupt.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people who blame Greece's problems, for example, on Goldman Sachs. And they say that these European politicians have cooperated with that because they're only interested in their banks.
Yes.
And all the European banks have cooperated in that. And so there should be no sympathy. They have no sympathy for Germany first, or France, or any of the others, or Britain, or any of the others, and what they have to pay, because they don't blame it on the Greeks. And, of course, a lot of people who really love what's going on with Golden Dawn, and Golden Dawn is opposed to the euro and so on, and all of this, they see it differently. You know, I can see from both aspects, but they're not the same thing. As you said, they're apples and oranges. They're two different things.
Yes.
So, let Golden Dawn have success in Greece. Let Greece drop out of the Eurozone and let
the best thing to do for
for
Greece would be to drop out, to get back to the old currency of the drachma. That would be a big help for the interior, for the local production. More tourists may come, and it's not only my mind, it's the mind of a lot of people, even important ones, professors of economics. Best is, as quickly as Greece drops out, the better it is for this country.
Why are they so opposed to that? Because it's going to mean a run on the banks, because then others will also, probably. And then the banks won't get their money, and they're going to lose.
Yes. Political credo, I think. No, Greece in ancient times was the birth of democracy, as they call it. And therefore, Greece should be a member state. It's a contribution to, let's say, history. And apart from that, the Southern Europeans, Europe is more than the Eurozone. Well, Great Britain or smaller Britain isn't part of it. Nor is Sweden, nor is Switzerland, nor is Denmark, nor is Norway, and other European countries. And I think it was a kind of trick, or it was a kind of pressure exercised on the Kohl government when the so-called small German reunification was going on, that Mitterrand, the French president, asked that Germany should give up the Deutschmark, because the Deutschmark was the leading currency, and what we call the currency snake, which worked very well in the 90s, should be given away, because that meant all the European countries had to follow the German policy. And Mitterrand and the French, it's same now with their new socialist president Hollande, they want only the German security. That's if anything goes wrong with their own economy, own currency, they know there are the Germans behind who would pay for the errors, for the faults, and for the debts. And that can't work anymore. And that causes, animosity among the European nations.
Right.
They're probably admitting that we've come to this point. Yes, Merkel, so she isn't the best word in English. It's not a very important politician. She's a kind of civil servant.
Mm-hmm.
And she's compared to Hitler. She's compared to outstanding.
I get what you mean. She's not very, very impressive. At all,
she's kind of
standard political.
That is crazy, but now she represents Germany, on the international scene, and she's caricatured as Hitler, and she is in the German shoes of the First World War. It's anything now, which
that's just to snipe at the Germans. That's just kind of propaganda, don't you think?
Yes, Hitler.
Oh, you Germans! The whole idea, and it has not changed from World War One. It has not changed that Germany is going to be the bad one if they don't do what everybody else wants. Germany is supposed to support everyone else when they want them to, and not ask for anything, and that's still going on.
And I think
Germany got roped into this. Well, everybody got roped into it, but they got roped into it because they're still trying to get over this reputation that doesn't go away, that they're some kind of Nazi type or...
Yes, even, Nazi or the Kaiser, even Kaiser type, Bismarck type, Martin Luther, it's anything like that. It's the old animosity. It's not among normal people. I was in Italy and Slovenia and in Hungary, even in smaller Britain, I call it nowadays. It's not normal people. It's the leading classes.
Really?
And it's the mainstream media. It's the mainstream media.
I think so. They play that up. If there's one poster or one little group says something about, show that image of Merkel as in a Nazi uniform.
Yes.
Well, then they play that up like it's, everybody agrees with it.
It was in Poland, in Greece, and they showed the European colors with the swastika in the center, in the middle. It's funny, but it's crazy, but it's pretty dangerous.
Yes, and the media is just running, is pushing people into believing things and thinking things that aren't true or aren't right, have no basis, but it becomes the common belief,
yes,
the common currency, and it's all done up by the media. We know who owns and runs the media.
So it gets back to that.
But the
Germans use the whip to make those poor Southerners work like slaves. There's no free time. There's no leisure time. There's no money for, let's say, theater, sailing, I think, anything like that. But I give you one example. It was on the German TV, I think, half years ago. A retired couple in Madrid, Spain, had expenses of 2,000 euros a month. But their monthly income is only 1,100. And those 900 euros, which is the difference, they get from the bank without any security. Normally, if you only have 1,100 euros to live on, that's the sum you have to live on. It's not possible to get a credit and not paying it back. That's the mentality of the people in those, most of them.
Well, I guess it was Jewish finance that introduced credit.
Yeah.
And I can remember when credit came. It wasn't the very beginning of credit, but when it became real more common. Everywhere in the stores, you could buy things on credit.
Yes,
they were encouraging it. And people were questioning it at the time. It's good, my older people, good, solid people who saved money and didn't spend money they didn't have. There was a lot of discussion at the time, but they pushed this stuff through, and they don't listen to the people.
To figure out, normally, if you haven't got money left, you don't get on holiday. They even get money from the bank to pay for a holiday, which is Egypt, which is crazy.
Yes, it is.
No money left. They want the people to consume. They want the people to be dependent. And even there, tragedies. 3 weeks ago, somebody south from Weinheim, where I live, a man shot three persons because he should leave his apartment. Couldn't pay any more for the rent. Three dead. That's not on the international media, but it happens. There are a lot of tragedies.
This was right there in Germany, a German man
that
went berserk because he was forced to leave his apartment.
Yes.
And then no wonder when you see all the immigrants who are given all this stuff and is paid for them, that's why you go berserk.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
I mean, that's why. If it was happening to everyone, people didn't do that like during the Depression and so on. But when you see what we have today with this immigration and how people, foreigners are brought into countries and they're given everything, apartments and spending money and cars.
I'm giving two recent examples. One federal court of Stuttgart, civil court, ruled that a Palestinian couple with children that had reached Italy, a safe country, made their way to Germany, and should be kicked out. But they ruled Italy doesn't like to see immigrants to come in, only offers poor housing, poor living, and therefore they were allowed to stay in Germany.
Oh, so they can have it because they deserved better than what Italy was.
Yes. Italy only
offers...
What kind
of thinking is that? You know, Germans, they're crazy. That's crazy.
Italy only offers inhuman conditions for asylum seekers to come in. Second case, our so-called High Constitutional Court ruling that the asylum seekers now get the same money, the same conditions as normal Germans without a job, as jobless German. Crazy, crazy, crazy. And last year we had 50,000 new asylum seekers, more than Weinheimer has got inhabitants. Every year at least a town, well, of 50,000 people, above all Negroes, Arabs, even Serbians coming now to Germany from Serbia.
Yeah, well, that's what they did. That's what they do everywhere. That's what they do here. They want to bring people that are as different as possible and force you to get along with them and accept them and, become accustomed to having these people.
Yeah.
Now, there's a story.
Can we interrupt for about 10 minutes? My wife is calling me. Is it possible?
10 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, can't you talk to your wife later?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know if there's something important. Maybe someone has come into the house. I'm calling back in 10 minutes time.
You can't. Okay? No, you can't. You can't hang up here and call back, Gunter.
I can't.
Come on. No, you have to stay on. You have to stay on here. I don't know what you can answer. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and answer your phone, but you can't hang up this call.
I see. Okay, let's go on.
Okay. I was going to mention that an influential German business organization has come out and is warning that proposals to allow the European Central Bank to buy up bonds of struggling Euro countries, that's, I think, what they're talking about is that European stability mechanism could seriously damage the single currency, the euro. Well, they might be talking about the buying up the euro bond proposal. And this is the ZDH. Do you know the ZDH? They represent some 5 million skilled craftsmen. And they said that the stabilization of the monetary union, or that's what the European stabilization mechanism is all about, to stabilize the monetary union. They say it's no end in and of itself to be pursued with no thought of the associated economic, social, and societal costs. So this idea that they have to do these things because they have to save the euro and they have to keep it stable at all costs, you know, no matter what.
Yes.
It's absolutely wrong. And more people need to come out and say that. So they're saying that the markets lately have rallied on hopes that the European Central Bank will buy bonds of countries like Spain and Italy to keep a lid on their borrowing costs. And this is how the markets work, too. The markets rally when they hope that somebody's going to bail somebody else out. You know,
these things
are going to be bailed out when the stock markets are going to be bailed out. Rather than letting things fall and fail and then get back on a better footing, And you have a better world, you'd have a better financial system globally. Mm-hmm. But they don't, they won't let that happen anymore. And that's how these central banks function. They're never gonna, they think they're never gonna let that happen. They're never gonna allow recessions or depressions or anything to take place. How can they do that? They can't do it.
Well, I think it's, in the end, it's a political question. You're right. All the important parties in the Bundestag are more or less in favor of this fiscal union, and one step to it is the euro bonds, which means that each of the member states has got the same interests, which can't be any reason. If you have now, I think Greece pays 25%, Spain has to pay for national credit, I think 20%, Germany 3%, and they put it together and they got the medium is now the new euro bond. Well, that is the vision of the political establishment. But which is new, 3 weeks ago, a group of 200 professors of economics stepped forward, went forward and said, no, that's not the way to clear up, to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
This is too much for the German economy. And a lot of, even of those specialists say that all the money paid in for pensions is gone away. Big problems for German pension, or the Pensionskassen, well,
pensioners.
Pensioners, yes, or insurance company for old age people, well, the money is gone. The money is gone with those. And now, Draghi, who's also a Goldman Sachs man in Europe now, does the same as Obama and his colleagues do. They print money. They only print money. They buy the bet papers of the southern countries and they print new euros, which means inflation, that is regarded by some politicians as not too bad as the state debts go down at the same time. But it's very bad for those who have, saved money. Normal people, the money is, well, it's nothing worse. You don't get any interest. 10,000 euros in a year's time will only have the value, the buy value of 8,000 or even 7,000 euros. And that will be disputed in the next federal elections. But which is a shame to the whole of Germany, although the German citizens, only a very, very few show a certain interest. I think all the politicians, sure, they will find a solution which will please everybody. You can't.
You mean
be
that people are actually believing
yes.
that?
Yes, you can't be everybody's darling. Yes, you must decide on something. And which is in our interest, which is in the interest of others, or which interests do match. And as long as the Germans will get their money, and even Italy, there is no public interest. The demonstration you see on TV, only by a small amount, a small percentage, let's say if in Rome, for example, 50,000 people demonstrate, that's nothing. If in Frankfurt, 2,000 demonstrate, that's nothing compared to the population living in the Frankfurt area or living in the Rome area. Even there, it's in Athens, so it's a 2 million inhabitants, if there are 80,000 compared to the rest of the country, that's nothing. And therefore, the police think there will be a way to get out of that mist. I don't know. I more in favor, you know, as a nationalist, we should go back to the German Deutschmark. The other countries should go back to their own currencies and go back to what I called the European currency snake, Europäische Währungsschlange, which was a very good thing and that worked very well in the late 80s and all the 90s before the euro came. And it's the euro, I must stress it again, it's not the currency of Europe, it's only of some European countries, some northerners, some southerners, which different mentalities as to work, as to income, as to taxes, and to even the Italians don't like to pay taxes. Well, they bring money abroad. after the Greek thing.
Greeks are even worse.
Yes,
that,
yes. There's Greek money in Switzerland, in England, and everywhere. And even, if you look at
the big, it's talked about all the time how bad the tax collecting is in Greece. Yeah, now, maybe you don't like taxes. I don't actually like taxes. But if that's how everybody's doing it, you can't have all these other Europeans paying their taxes and the Greeks are not.
Yeah, yes.
And then they're going to be held.
If you know that the Greek ship owner has not to pay taxes, you don't understand that. If you know that, for example, a worker on a crane or in the port of Athens, Piraeus, earns 150,000 euros a year, some Germany pays 3 grammar school teachers for, you don't understand that.
Well, it comes down to the fact that it's been a failure. I mean, like you said, it probably the European Union can function pretty well as a European market union and so on.
Yes,
but when they brought in the euro and now they're actually pushing through that to try to unify Europe politically, as I already brought out earlier, that the parliaments are having less and less influence or power or control in their own countries, and the European Union is in Brussels has more and more, and they want to make that the total dictator. I mean, it's a dictatorship.
Yes, right.
And then they talk about Germany and its dictatorships. I mean, it's just crazy because the European Union is a dictatorship working its way toward that.
Yes, yes. It's like the former Comintern of the Soviet Union.
It's really communist. And what they're bringing on with what they're doing now is definitely communism, because the rich are supposed to pay for the poor, and the poor don't have to justify anything either.
And what is great in most European Euro countries is that the parliaments, the national parliaments, are in favor of this fiscal union. They give away their power. And it's the sovereignty over the finances is one of the most important powers a national parliament has. Now they will transfer this financial power to Brussels, which is crazy. Nobody understands.
And it is crazy. And nobody, that should never be allowed. I mean, there should be more upset about that. But as you say, the people seem to think that somehow they must know what they're doing. And that's that is crazy. No wonder you keep using that word. They're crazier there than they are here.
And some rely on the so-called Constitutional Court on September 12th will decide on that ESM, as it called it. But all those judges sitting there are members of a leading political party. Though they must rule against the party if they are not in favor of this fiscal union, or they will find some trick to say, well, it's possible, but you must respect this paragraph, this paragraph, this paragraph. On the end, I'm going to say, there's no chance. Only if the voters change their minds and send all those traitors, as I would call them, into a certain desert and give new parties a chance to find a new way to get back to, well, what we had in the 90s, national independence as far as the currency and the finances are concerned.
Well, okay, we're almost to the end of our first hour, so let's deal with that. What needs to be done? What can be done? What would make that happen? I mean,
information, and that people get more and more interested in all those, well, really difficult matters. It's very difficult, you see. To understand economics and fiscal policy is not the same as to understand how a football match or a soccer match or a basketball match goes on.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they're saying. They're saying that the people can't understand it, to have a referendum on economic issues and so on and all this. That's too difficult for them. But others are saying, yes, they can understand it.
Yes, it's too complicated. And as long as they don't realize the consequences of this policy, less money in the pocket or more taxes, I think, oh, well, they will, some people, it's okay, we are going on, we are getting out of this problem. Let's see next year, federal elections, if there's real, we need a radical change.
Okay, well, we're at the end of our first hour, Gunter, and while we have our five-minute music break here, you can try to call your wife, but just don't hang up this call, okay? Don't hang up this Skype call. All right. Be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, how do you do, young Willie McBride? Do you mind if I sit here down by your graveside and rest for a while, need the warm summer sun? I've been walking all day and I'm nearly done. I see by your gravestone you are only 19 when you joined the Great Fallen in 1916. I hope you died well and I hope you died clean. Our young Willie McBride was it slow and obscene? Did he beat the drum slowly? Did he play the fife slowly? Did they sound the death march as he lowered you down? And did the band play the last post and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? Did you leave a wife or a sweetheart behind? In some faithful heart is your memory enshrined? Although you died back in 1916, in that faithful heart are you forever 19? Or are you a stranger without even a name, enclosed and forever behind the glass frame? In an old photograph torn, battered and stained, and faded to yellow in a brown leather frame. Did he beat the drum slowly? Did he play the fife slowly? Did I sound the death march as he lowered you down? Did the band play the last post and chorus? And did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? The sun, now it shines on the green fields of France. There's a warm summer breeze, it makes the red poppies dance. And look how the sun shines from under the clouds. There's no gas, no barbed wire, there's no gun firing now. But here in this graveyard, it's still no man's land. The countless white crosses stand mute in the sand. To man's blind indifference to his fellow man, to a whole generation that were butchered and damned. Did he beat the drum slowly? Did he play the fife slowly? Did they sound the death march as he lowered you down? And did the band play the last post and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? A young Willie, my bride, I can't help wonder why. To those that lie here, know why did they die? And did they believe when they answered the call? Did they really believe that this war would end war? Well, the sorrow, the suffering, the glory, the pain, the killing and dying were all done in vain. For young Willie McBride, it all happened again and again and again and again and again. Today be the drums.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Saturday Afternoon with Carolyn Yeager, and I'm Carolyn, and my guest today is Gunter Deckert. Are you there now, Gunter?
Yes, I'm there.
Oh, good. You know, Gunter, it occurred to me during the break that you maybe didn't and don't understand that this show is live, that you thought we were recording a show.
Yeah. Oh, it's live. Oh, sorry, I didn't
live.
Know.
It's live. Well,
okay,
I know.
Okay, fine.
So, I thought you had kind of looked at things to know that, but I thought you knew
okay.
that. Now, that explains,
sorry,
that explains a whole lot. Okay.
Yes. Sorry about that.
All right. We were saying at the break, and I think, you know, we've got some other things to move on to, but there's still a little bit to say about this. And what should be done, you said information. You know, we're at a real crisis point here. This is super duper crisis. What Europe is considering with this European Stability Mechanism and how it affects Germany. Of course, it's going to affect all of Europe. People are going along with it, and then next will come. In my opinion, if everybody just dropped the euro, of course they're not going to all drop it, but if the euro died and they went back to their currencies, their national currencies, there would be a little disruption for a while, but I don't think it would be so terrible. It would only be terrible for the banks, so there would be a kind of a global financial crash, and they would try to make the most of it in order to get more power and get it back and one thing and another, convince people. So you're right, the information, educating people is terribly important, but there's no way that the mass of people are ever going to be educated except by what's in the mass media or the mass information channels or whatever, you know. There's no way that the majority are going to get it.
Yes, but it's strange or it's bizarre or new, you can say, that even what our German was a tablet media, the Bild-Zeitung, the photo journal, which has got 2 million readers a day, now has changed mind. Bild is now on the other side, has become as skeptical paper as to the euro as it possible to save the euro. Because those in power, I think, realize the problems involved with that. And that it would mean, in a chaos in Germany. Now Greece is in a kind of a chaos. But here things are more or less, still okay. And if the protests, start on a higher level, if more people join the protest movement, there are some, 10 days ago, there were about only 500 people protesting in front of the Reichstag in Berlin. That is nothing at all. Mm-hmm. But there is a protest march planned for the 12th of September.
Well, are these protest marches saying out of the euro, or are they just saying, what are they protesting exactly?
Well, there's no to the ESM, no to the fiscal union, and mm-hmm. part of them as well, let's step out of the euro.
Okay.
And a former important pro-euro man, Olaf Henkel, very, very important businessman, he is in favor of stepping out, but to create a kind of Northern Euro, I put when we started. Northern Euro, that's the countries, Netherlands, Belgium, Germany, Austria, Finland, maybe France. That's the Northern Euro.
Well, that would be the same thing as if the nations that are in trouble and can't seem to function properly
yes.
to remain in the euro, we'll just drop out. Right? You
yes.
don't have to form a Northern Euro. You
yeah.
just let these others, or kick them out or
yes.
something.
Yeah.
And then you'd be left with what the
that's
one,
it.
You know,
that's
the
it.
Other.
Kick them out. Well, you see, That is what the mentality of
well,
the
there's countries. A lot of Europeans yes. and a lot of European Americans who might take offense at this. That's why I'm asking people to write in, but I haven't gotten any emails from anybody yet about what we're saying. But no, you know, I've got something with
The countries I mentioned of North of Europe, they share the same, let's say, ideals, the same mentality, and the same consciousness of problems. And you can't match apples and oranges and things like that, or mice and cows, and that they didn't. Well, the politicians didn't want to see that problem.
Yeah.
And, for example, somebody living in the state of Wisconsin in USA maybe is willing to pay some money for the poor people of Alabama. But you can't make an American understand that you should pay with his money the good life of the Brazilians or of some Negro state. You have nothing in common with these people. No identity, no heritage, no language, no mentality, nothing at all. It's only, it's very difficult to put it, I would like to give an image, to make people understand the problem. And sure, if an American of Spanish origin, he may be offended by my words or by my speech, by my theories, but he should first help his mother state of Spain. They did wrong, not the Germans did. The Greeks did wrong, not the Germans did. And for example, now France, what they did, we are asked to work up to the age of 70 when the new socialist government put down the age of retirement of 62.
Yeah.
Why should we pay these expenses of the French? If they won't do that, you should pay.
Of course, it's outrageous. Yeah. It's outrageous.
Yeah.
And then,
and
then you're right. If people want, if say Americans want to complain, if they're of Greek descent or Spanish descent or something, and they want to complain about this, they should be looking to their country, their homeland in Europe.
That's what
they'll do? You know what they'll say? What they end up saying? Oh, those bunch of crooks over there. You know, I wouldn't do anything for them. They're blah blah. But then at the same time, then if they can, they'll blame it onto someone else rather than their own.
Sure,
country.
Sure.
So
yeah.
You know, this all has to be. But that's a good answer to that. Well, you know, there's a poll. I have a story from July 29th, not all that long ago, a couple weeks ago. And there's and you mentioned the Build and the Sunday Build did which is also, you know, was big mass circulation. Weekly, every Sunday, they had this MNID poll, and it showed that 51% of Germans believed Europe's top economy, that's the way they word it, they believed Germany would be better outside the 17 countries.
Yeah.
And they published that, 51%, and they said only 29% said it would be worse off. So people don't believe this anymore, according to this poll anyway. And it also said that 71% of Germans wanted Greece to leave the euro if it did not live up to its promises. You know, we know this, but you don't know why they, when they put things out, if this is true, why aren't there more people, why isn't there more dissent in Germany? Why isn't there more people being upset? They just don't.
Well, if they are asked, that's by a poll, a paper or a TV, they give answers, but they don't act in person. They don't go into the street. They don't they protest, let's say, outside the home of an MP, a member of parliament, outside the office of the local MP. There are no protests. There are no, as the trade unions do, having people standing outside the office, outside the home of the member of parliament. And I think that is, slowly starting. You must take your unrest, your complaints, not only to a paper, which is somebody, the Bild is Hamburg or Berlin, far away. It must go to the local representative of the parties who are in favor of the fiscal union. That's a difference. If they are confronted with their voters in their constituency, that's different.
Yes.
Berlin is far away. From here, 700 kilometers. But if you go, he's in Heidelberg, And let's say every day 50 people standing outside his office or his home, maybe he will change his mind.
That's right.
And so a lot of members of Happiness, they didn't know what they had voted for. Oh, they are specialists in our fraction, and there are special sessions of these specialists, and we believe in what they tell us, and then they vote. Having no idea of how money, of how much money goes away, what is in this famous treaty called ESM, it's crazy. And these are so-called democratic politicians. Idiots.
Yeah, we do, and we should. It needs to be made local. It needs to go more local.
Yeah,
and people need to get out in real life
to
and
take the
protest
to
things.
The homes, to their homes, and so, let's say local constituency offices. That's different.
Mm-hmm. Huh? And I think there's more of that. I think more of that goes on in Europe than it does in the United States. I think the United States is very poor. I could be wrong, but very poor in getting out there in the real world.
Yes. America.
We do have bigger distances between.
Yeah. It's too large a country. You can say something in San Francisco, and people in New York won't ever hear of. That's possible. When I did, it's 30 years ago, I did the translation of the Cedric Smith book on Ronald Reagan campaign. In this was he could. And Reagan was, well, very, very intelligent man, or he was, had good advisors. What he said on the western coast didn't match what he said on the eastern coast, or what he said to the workers in Illinois, or to the people, or the farmers in the Middle West.
You're talking about Ronald Reagan?
Yes.
Okay.
I did his campaign book in the 80s, done by the Pulitzer Prize winner, Cedric Smith. I translated it into German 30 years ago.
Okay.
And I realized doing so that Reagan addressed, he succeeded in convincing people in making different speeches in different areas of the United States. Different speech, California, Illinois, Delaware, let's say, southern states, because you have got what we call a national media. Maybe Los Angeles Times, important for the West, Washington Times for the East, New York Times, but no, let's say, national media as Bild or Frankfurter Allgemeine or Süddeutsche, that are papers read all over Germany.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting. That's very interesting. But now, to get back to these stereotypes, it seems to me that, you know, that, and on the one hand, they say, they call it stereotypes, and they say there's it's threatening European unity, this psychological differences amongst the Europeans, and there's more that this gets played up and people pay attention to it because of the financial crisis, the more this is going to break things up. Well, it seems to me like it's a good idea. Let things get broken up now and let people recognize that they're different, and they are different.
Sure.
And there's a huge difference between Southern and Northern. And so, but what would be the future? You did make some suggestions, but so many people have been saying to me, that have been pro-European Union all along, that Europe has to be united or they can't function in today's world. What do you say to that?
Well, the best, in my mind, the best is a kind of European free market, with national governments. Mm-hmm. That's a giving and receiving, giving and receiving. And now they try to make a union where only one party is giving, the others are only accepting or receiving. And that can't work, and that gives a way or burst to unrest, to protest, because, as I put it, why should somebody living in Berlin pay for the holidays of a Greek worker or of a Greek sportsman and things like that?
Yeah.
You can ask for solidarity inside a community that regards itself as a community. Seen from outside, there's a German community, German mentality, though there are differences inside Germany, differences between Berlin, Hamburg, and Munich, for example, or if the Swabians, the same in the USA.
Oh.
Yes, but seen from outside, there's a German mentality, a work discipline, certain skills, made in Germany, a certain quality, which is good. And in cooperation, I think it's more or less the idea of De Gaulle and others as well, a Europe of, he'll call it father countries, of independent countries, sharing some common interests, seen outside, towards Africa, towards USA, NATO, globalism, towards Russia, China, and so on, but ruling over their own problems inside without interfering from Brussels or Strasbourg or London or New York or things like that.
You know, that's what they promised in the beginning. That's what it was going to be. And they always promised we're not going to take anything away from national governments and so on. But it's really very anti-nationalist. So the whole idea now is clear is to get rid of any national control in any of these countries and have it be under
the United States. Though the population is very mixed, but nevertheless, they feel, a lot of them are Muslim, feel as Americans. That's not the feeling of a European. You live in the European Union as a Frenchman, as a German, as an Austrian German, as a Dutch and things like that. And there's no common history. There were wars. Though you have got the wars of your civil war, but it's a long time ago. There were no war wars concerning the frontier in the east, natural frontier that the French would have, the Rhine, the Alps, the North Sea, and things like that.
Right.
Europe has a very, very controversial history. And this memory of peoples are very, very strong. They remember, they get a mind of certain things. Last week, I was a friend in France to see Vincent Renoir, revolutionist there. And on our way back, we passed Compiègne. Remember, the armistice, First World War, the armistice on June 1940. And there was a plaque on this memorial site. A plaque stating, here, the criminal right of the German Kaiserreich had been defeated by the free peoples of Europe who didn't want to be enslaved. Crazy.
Yeah.
Figure out.
Well, see, they still have that stuff. And then, and then they want to bring everything together
and have Germany pay for everybody when they
keep that up.
Yes.
Well, that brings me to something that I didn't want to forget, and that is in this article about stereotypes and how the Europeans are starting to kind of break apart for these reasons. And this was written by the Associated Press, an Associated Press story, although it may have originated in a German newspaper, I'm not sure. But it says, there's a sentence here, the prime motive. Well, it says that German attitudes toward European unity have a special historical significance. The prime motive for working toward a united Europe was a desire to contain Germany after the two world wars. See? They still bring that stuff up. And then it says, a generation ago, West Germans were great champions of unity because it gave them a respectability that had been squandered. That means they, during the Third Reich, they had squandered all their respectability. And now they had an opportunity to say, we are Europeans rather than, anti-Europeans, I guess. And on it goes. You know, this is the way they frame things. And the Germans are unable to get angry at this. They say, oh, that's right, that's right.
That's a very good statement. A lot of people have lived the Second World War. Well, when saying we are Europeans, they got rid of the German history. They weren't confronted with the policies of the Third Reich, of the so-called atrocities, all things like that. Well, I have nothing to do with the Germany. Now I am a European. But in the course of time, things have changed. It's only a lot of work done by the revisionists, even American ones, showing that the official image or version of the Second World War couldn't be right. There are nuances, there are differences. Objectivity is something different. And now that comes to the surface, the younger son, why? My grandfather was okay. Why should I, third generation, pay money for things having happened 60, 50 or 70 years ago? And it comes together with this economic crisis. As long as the Germans could pay a new car, a new house, the holidays, nobody more or less got into trouble or fought over financial problems. Money warfare, better pay, better outfits, better cars, everything seemed to be bad. A kind of paradise on earth. And now this, I would say this image or this, this view on life, on normal life, is changed now, or is endangered now by problems he can't analyze very much or very well, or he doesn't understand or she doesn't understand, and now unrest comes up. Is my pension still secure? As a Danita, must I pay extra money for my house, my apartment? A friend of mine lives in Italy, now has to pay 600 euros extra on his home, and this money goes directly to the national government in Rome, not to the local government, which is normal regular. And all these different, I would say, small rivers or torrents now become a kind of Mississippi. You understand? Mm-hmm. And the Mississippi is not the Neckar, though the Rhine is very large in German eyes. It has become a big problem. And as the solutions offered by those in power don't convince normal people, or let's even an engineer, or let's a policeman who are no idiots, they are.
Right.
Well, they are insecure. They don't know what to think of, what to do, how to behave, and, well, it's a strange intellectual climate we are living on now.
Yeah. Well, here's a railway worker from Frankfurt named Andreas Fay, who says, is quoted in an article here, putting up more money by Germany would be the biggest mistake Germany could make.
Yeah.
And he's talking about the Greeks here. a civil servant in Madrid said he had already seen a poster calling for a boycott of German goods. So there again is that anger at Germany. As things get worse, they're gonna now. And what do we remember about boycotts of German goods? You know, in 1933, right?
Yes.
You know,
yes,
I mean,
yes.
Gosh. And then before that, too, the British were boycotting Germany and the Jews. So it's, you know, this, we just go right back to this. And
Cameron,
they think they know there's problems now between the people of the different European countries.
Yes.
And another fellow said that we need to do something. He says this division is emerging between creditors and debtors and should not be underestimated. He thinks this is the biggest threat to the European project of all, and I would say so too.
Yeah.
Once the people stop thinking,
for example, boycott German goods. Mm-hmm. German goods are not bought or not bought by foreigners because they are produced in Germany. They are bought because the goods will have a certain quality, and the price it's worth the quality. The Spanish are not forced to buy German goods. They may buy Spanish goods that are able to produce in the same quality. And for example, why should we produce and give those products as a present to the countries in the East? There's no need to work 50 hours up to the age of 70 and to export and later on to pay our export. That is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yes.
Yes,
well, it is. And sane people, people who aren't psychologically screwed up over guilt and so on, would never do it. They wouldn't do it. But, well, okay. You know, I think we've covered that very well. We've got a half hour left, so let's go on. And I was going to ask you in the very beginning of the show, so I'll do it now, because you had just mentioned you had been, I know you've been traveling and doing a lot of things in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't come on. So why don't you bring us up to date as much as you want to on what you've been doing, what you've been up to.
Yes, in May I was to London speaking at the London Forum. That is in late November, I had been in London too. It was the New Right.
Yeah, Londoner, the New Right.
And that is, well, as a rather small group, scene of the population of London, about 50 to 80 people, that depends. They are normally Saturday afternoon, three speakers. I'm always the guest speaker from the continent, as I'm rather fluent in English, as they call it, rather fluent in English. And it's very interesting because I meet people who are not in the mainstream of English politics. They know a lot of Germany, a lot of history, and it's a kind of intellectual relationship. Those who make or with the organizers share more or less the same political ideas. I put it, independence of the country, but a kind of European solidarity, working together on different levels. And even to, let's say, have a different look on the history between the two countries, even Great Britain and Germany, First World War, Second World War. Well, we are sorry that we had fought two brother wars, two civil wars, two Germanic nations fighting each other, with the consequence that in the East, the Reds, and the West, the United States, arose two world powers. For me, it's very, very comfortable to speak in an atmosphere which is a friendly one, and having, well, become friends. But the English now, the English nationalists, have interior problems. The BNP, that had become a real factor in Great Britain, now is dissoluting, is breaking into different pieces. Now the United Kingdom Party, first England First, it's the National Front again, it's a British movement, going back to Mosley, the British fascism. They are breaking up because there were interior problems, financial ones with the now boss Griffin. And it's a shame that the British nationalist movement is not a factor anymore, actually. I hope it will become a factor.
Well, is it because of the poor performance by the members, or is it because of agents who get in there and aren't really loyal?
I would say it's more a poor performance of some leading figures. It's a problem of character.
It always comes down to that. I'm glad you said that.
And we can say they are Germanics, and they like the fractions, and they like, well, everybody wants to be a leader. And as long as the BNP had, really good success in constituency, local councillors, it was okay. Now getting into trouble with that, as confounded with the United Kingdom Party, which is war for Greater Britain out of Europe and so on. And all those sins and mismanagements come to light. And for me, it's very difficult to analyze the different. I get Heritage and Destiny, for example, which is a monthly. Even there's an American Heritage and Destiny pamphlet. You can say it's about 20 pages a month. The movement as the national movement is very in very, very, well, rough waters, you can say, rough waters.
And well, what is your name? You can continue if you want, or else there's a question I want to ask you. What is your opinion of the London New Right, or the whole New Right way of thinking? Do you think they have a good way of thinking?
Actually, it's too small a group.
Yeah.
And important, too, is not much money to act on a national scale, national level, let's say England-wide or Great Britain-wide. They are in need of money and of, well, let's say, militants, people, active people. It's a small group, intelligent group, and they too think that with the crisis, though Britain is not part of the Eurozone, well, changes may come about and give them a chance to, well, get more influence again, as the immigration problem they are focused on is very, very important to the British Isles.
Yeah.
And they get the best results they made are in areas where, well, where immigration is really to be seen. Black faces or brown faces and things like that. England is in some part is a conquered, is an occupied country by foreigners. Though they speak a kind of English. Pakistani, Indians, Black Africans, Caribbeans and things coming all from the former British colonies. But not no white incomers, only colored incomers.
Yeah. Okay. So what about the NPD in the United in Germany? Unless you there's something more to say about other European countries. What else? Oh, you didn't finish saying where all you've been going and doing. You said you went to see Vincent Renoir.
Yes, in France, France, in France. France. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Renoir is not a member of the party, but he's had very very narrow links with the French weekly Rivarol. Maybe you've heard of. Rivarol is a weekly
nationalist, you may have heard of,
and well, he's in the old French nationalist movement, Pétain and all things like that, French Algeria, and he is has made a name by well working or doing kind of objective work in presenting the French German history from 33 on. He's in his late 30s, he's very, very active. And a friend of mine, well, paid the visit and we took some money to him because he was fired. He was a chemist and he was fired. He lives
I know, he really is in need of money. He is unable to earn any money of any amount.
No, he lives more or less on a publication called Without Concession, Sans Concession.
Yeah, but that doesn't make him anything.
Yes, it's about a circulation of 500. It's a quarterly, I think. Those who read French, it's very interesting. It's very good, and he makes some money off it. And he says, "Well, he is well. He doesn't want to drive a Mercedes. Nor does he want to have a sailing boat."
No, well, he lives very poorly.
yes, he's got a
wonderful attitude now. There's somebody.
Yeah.
Well,
and as to France, there is the National Front after Jean-Marie Le Pen has changed a bit of attitude. His daughter is now the big boss, number one. Is more or less, I would put this, pro-Israel. On the European continent, some bourgeois right, bourgeois conservative parties think the Jews control the media, which is not wrong. And if we want to have a better presentation in those Jew-controlled media, we must be pro-Israel. And there are pilgrimages of European politicians from Austria, from Belgium, France, Belang, seeking, well, going to Jerusalem and Tel Aviv and trying to get into connection. And first started the French France, Belang because Antwerpen has got two problems. A strong foreign population of Morocco, working in a German-founded chemist industry, BASF, Ludwigshafen, Rhine, and the Jewish diamond merchandise. And then, well, if you have to choose, we prefer the Jews to the Americans. And they were in Antwerpen, they have about 35%, the strongest party. And they have some Jewish donors, as in the States, some politicians. And they, well, between two evils, in my words, they choose the Jewish evil. And from that, they realized better press, better presentation in the media, and then in the back mind, oh, if you go to Israel, would be better again. And that is now a great...
Are they making any progress with their anti-immigrant program?
But now that is created a lot of problems inside those parties. The same is in England. Some of the new nationalist groups are in favor of Israel, others not. Mm-hmm. Thus, our only will won't fight Islam, but won't fight normal immigration. Now, Europe as a whole has, well, in the different countries, different views on how to handle with the immigration problem or how to handle the relations between let's say, Belgium or France or Austria, German, with the state of Israel. Seen with a conflict in Syria and then with a possible war against Iran.
Well, it's, you know, they go so far as to turn it into something that's just religious. They're against Islam, but they're not against immigration apart from that. It becomes something they don't want. It's like Islam is going to conquer European Christianity. It's based, Europe is a Christian continent and so on, and Christian homeland and so.
But
and
Islam
they lose sight of the real problem.
Yes. Islam is linked to immigration. I'm not against any Islamic country. I'm against Islam people coming here. I'm not against Islam in Egypt, in Jordan, in Saudi Arabia.
Well, me also, yeah.
It's their problem. If they want to live based on the doctrines of the Quran, why not? That's their way of life. It's not my lifestyle. I don't want them to come in and to found mosques, to found Turk mosques, Saudi mosques, even universities. It's like what I saw in Minnesota, Wisconsin, this Sikh temple.
Yes, and so what you're saying is that these parties have gotten to where they want to help Israel destroy Islam in the Middle East, anywhere.
Yeah.
And they've lost sight of what's
Let's say the immigration problem is linked to the financial one. That's the same. As long as a state is rich enough and can invest or take a lot of the income taxes, invest in social welfare, maybe it's okay. For example, Mannheim City, not far away from here, 300,000 inhabitants. Inner city now is a Turkish part of Mannheim. Even I'm given a Turkish name. And this is what you call a foreign fort or a fortress in a German community. Strange. They've got Turkish medicines, Turkish merchants, Turkish everything. That's Turkey outside Turkey, inside Germany. And that's a problem.
Yes, it is. All right, well, let's talk about the ban, the effort to ban the NPD, your old party, and what's going on with it in this domestic intelligence scandal. Which is kind of funny.
more than funny. Based on a story or an article in the monthly called Compact, issued by nationalist left-wingers in Berlin, and the editor-in-chief is a former communist, but national tendency, it seems that the whole of NSU, as it called it, is maybe compared with what you lived with the 11th of September in the Twin Towers in New York. Something made, invented by the Secret Service itself. And this article finished with saying, with this new material now open to the public, it's more and more difficult to ban the NPD because the NPD has nothing to do with these three people. And the woman of the trio was an agent of the so-called Inner Secret Service, Interior Secret Service.
Really?
Was an agent, what they call ein Faumann, which is a mole, you say in English, I think, ein Maulwurf. It was an undercover agent inside the trio.
When did this come out? Because I was feeling for her in the
July issue, I think, of Compact. Maybe if you three times W, Compact, full stop D, you may come across it. It's Compact. It's written C-O-M-P-A-C-T. Uh-huh. It's a monthly.
Okay, I'll look it up. Compact. But it's not, it sounds English, is it?
Yes, the writing is English because starting with Compact means very, very strict. It's an entity. You can say Compact has come from Latin French and is even a normal German word now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, go ahead.
Yes. Next to that is linked the scandal with the German woman rower sent home from the Olympics in Rome. Maybe you have read of in
yes,
the States.
Yeah, well, too. Yes. I think everybody has, too, so you don't need to go over the story. But what's interesting is that they're making they're talking about making all the sports people sign democracy pledges from now on.
Yes, how does that tie in?
They're trying to tie that together. They're trying to tie her story because has a boyfriend who was in the NPD and ran in an election on the NPD ticket. They're trying to tie all that into some kind of terrorism in Germany and make everything look so scary and there's so much stuff going on, right? Extremist business going on, which isn't even true.
Yes, the whole action is, I would say, part of the fight, as they call it, against the right. Kampf gegen rechts. And this results that in the fact that people think over a very, very long time if they want to become a member of the NPD. With the consequence that people, intellectual ones, or let's say engineers, doctors, policemen, can no longer become a member of the party, act for the party, speak for the party, because their existence is really threatened, either financially or even wrong word, wrong place, wrong time, they are sent to prison. That is intellectual terrorism as its best. Mm-hmm. In a state that calls itself the freest state having ever existed on German soil, which is a very, very, very big lie and doesn't correspond to the reality of today.
Well, that's right. And this is clear that they've got this agenda and they've been working on it for quite some time. And once they got this terror cell thing going, and then they try to tie it in with the NPD. They arrested all these people and said, oh, this was a former NPD member and so on. Then they let them all go. I think I've heard there are hundreds of them, and they've had to release them, almost all of them. And now this woman who was their key person of this trio, now you're telling me that it's come out that she's an agent. I'm really interested in this.
Before,
is that like confirmed, or is it like a rumor, or what?
Before the house or the apartment they lived in Zwickau, that is the western part of Saxony, exploded, she had a phone call on her mobile by the Interior Secret Service of the Free State of Saxony. Oh. Yes, and that is proved now. And interesting as well is that the Federal Secret Service, Interior Service, had four weeks ago, destroyed a lot of material concerning these three people. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to give proof to the committee who is now analyzing the whole episode, all the actions of these three people. Mm-hmm. It's, well, as you can say, the more they get into the affair, the more comes out that it must be, well, in German we say, eine Art Arbeit des Geheimdienstes. It was a job done by professionals of the India's Secret Service.
The whole thing was. And then they've shredded all these documents.
Yes,
and so
part,
now they're now they part, say, well, part, because yes, because yes, they've yes, shredded so much and it's clear that they're all complicit, probably won't be able to ban the NPD after all.
No, they can't. It's impossible now. And this Beate Zschäpe so far hasn't said a word.
That's right.
Yes, hasn't said a word. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's nothing new. Only, let's say, the ways to try to ban the NPD have changed a lot. In former times, it's because we were in favor of the Russians. And then, well, we were not in favor of the Jews, which is right, but it's no crime. You can be against the Asians, you can be against alliance, that's not a crime. That's a point of view, and well, which is a policy too. And then they would don't accept democracy, but what is democracy? And the first Baltin, when the party was founded, was we want the election by the sovereign of our president. Is that Nazism, fascism? Now in their favor. A certain Horst Seehofer, the big boss of Bavaria, of the Christian Socialist Social Party, says, well, now we want the voter to be asked if he is in favor of the fiscal union. But this is populism at its best. He doesn't want that. But in stating that, oh, let's do as the Swiss do. In Swiss, you've got the plebiscite. The Swiss population, the sovereign, can always vote even on a national level, not only on the local level. But that proves that the unrest is everywhere. Be it to the NSU, be it to the fiscal union, be it to immigration. The old days when Germany inside was a kind of, well, holiday place have gone forever.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, they're trying to say that, all our people need to have a commitment to democracy, but Germany's not a democracy. And that can be shown so clearly because they don't allow anything on the right. They don't allow a free political thought. And they seem to think that because they have criminalized, the Third Reich in that period, that they can do that. And they don't allow any revisionism or any historical revisionism or anything. So the whole thing is a big joke. So, but you're right. What they're trying to do is to intimidate people from joining or having anything to do with the NPD.
Intimidation that's the right word. Intimidation.
By making out that in the media that this Draigala woman, the rower, there's something wrong with her.
Shame. That's really a shame.
Yeah, putting her through a lot of shame simply because her boyfriend was in there.
The number one of our so-called Olympic officials is a former communist, understandable. He has now the ticket of the Green Party. He was a former minister in North Rhine-Westphalia. Well, we have got to call that eine Seilschaft. They are groups linked together and who offer posts, receive posts or functions and so on. And there's nobody asks what if a sportsman is, let's say, pro-communism.
No, that's it. You can be as far left as you want, and they don't care. So what is this business? Communism isn't democracy. And here's the thing.
If some of your listeners, well, I think it's always good to write a polite letter, let's say to the consulate general or even the embassy, saying, well, you call that democracy if you spy out a relationship of a sportswoman who is not interested in politics. And as I somebody said, well, you must always know who she is in bed with. Is that important?
Yeah, people should know that they can write to the German consulates here in the United States and object to
consulate generals or a consulate or the embassy. Well, we don't. You say you pretend to be a democracy. What's that? This problem. What has that to do if the friend is engaged or was engaged in a nationalist party with me? I'm a sportswoman. Are you interested in knowing who is a friend with a communist, a liberal, or something like that? Asterix and Obelisk, Asterix.
Yes.
You know, I think I was in French, it's les Romains, ils sont fous. The Romans, they are crazy. And I put it, the Germans of today, or the official German of today, are more crazy than the Romans have been. Crazy as possible.
But Germany is actually communist ruled. I mean, it functions as a communist.
More or less, yes.
Communist nations used to do. Except that they have all the freedom to be, to have pornography or freedom to be as.
There's no freedom of opinion.
No.
There's no freedom.
They showed this here. You have to be on the Olympic team. You have to be of one opinion.
Yeah. It's the French call it la pensée unique. They want that you share the official version of everything. Official version of Europe, of immigration, they call that is a kind of enrichment. Huh? The Germans are, not very, I would say, Germany must be more colorful, must have more color, being immigrants, Chinese, Negroes, and things like that. It's, Armin Mohler, one of our, it's that long a time, very, very known journalist in the right-wing conservative camp, put it, you must always do the opposite of what Hitler has done, and you are a Democrat.
Yeah, that's how they measure it. That's great. Okay. Well, let's, at the last few minutes that we have, let's take a look at the Roma problem in Europe again, and in particularly Paris, because it also applies to the European Union, and they just recently said that they're closely watching how France expels members of the Roma community. And they're, a lot of them have gone to France, and France is trying to get rid of them because they say they're there illegally. But here you have where they include Roma as members of Europe. And Roma, even though they're from Bulgaria and Romania and so on, that's not their original homeland. They're originally from India.
Yeah.
So they really, they shouldn't be considered Europeans, but they are. So they're protected, and they're so nobody wants them. I mean, they're so damaging. They're such talk about lack of character.
That's a very simple answer. They are not of European origin, but they live in Europe and they are members, or they are citizens of a member state or a future member state. And it is clear if you can freely go from Bucharest to Berlin, and the people realize that life in Berlin, even for Roma, is much easier, why should they stay in Romania or in Bulgaria? One example. Mm-hmm. Roma asylum seeker succeeded in getting to Berlin, made friend with the German of Berlin, was sent back, invited the German, who met the sister of this Roma of Romania, and married her. They went back, and they realized that even without work, the Roma people could live very well. Now, the whole village, 1,500 people, are on their way to Berlin, and that is possible inside the European Common Market. And they live on social welfare. And the man who had taken initiative now has divorced from his Roma wife. But the Roma people of the home village are in Berlin now, and it's difficult to get away of them. Because as citizens of the European Union, they are entitled on social welfare. Just to social welfare. It's the same when I was in England in May. I was told that in the city of Slough, I think it's right, it's north of Heathrow. Heathrow, Slough, it's S-L-O-U-G-H, I think it's Slough pronounced. Well, was the largest Roma settlement in outside Romania. I mean, how did they get into Britain? Well, as European citizens.
Some numbers here, there's supposedly 12 million Roma living in Eastern Europe. 12 million. And they're still in Eastern Europe. And then there's those who've come into Europe.
And
it says that there's 15 to 20,000 who live in France. Which doesn't seem like so much, but they're a big problem.
Yes, possible. Even in Switzerland, they even had tried to get into Canada. Now about 30,000 gypsies from Hungary went to Canada. 10,000 are sent back. They realize with their way of life. Now in those European states, even Italy, the life is much easier than at home. No work And the council, they make some wall business, special business, and they get money from the state. They get money.
Well, yeah, they look at the better environment for their way of life, their theft, stealing.
Yes.
And that's all they do.
Karen, that's quite normal. If you realize that there are areas called the countries that are, crazy enough to offer such opportunities to people who have problems at home, it's quite clear. The active ones will go to the source of all the fortune, of all the happiness and things like that. If those in Germany, in France, or in Sweden don't say either Francia, no, you are not welcome, go back home.
Well, this is the problem of the European Union. The European Union has passed laws. And, you know, people went along with this because I've heard it. Well, this way we can travel from one country to another so easily. We don't want these borders and all this stuff. We can, you know, makes our travel more convenient. Everything has been given away. Everything we have has been given away for Europeans' convenience, and they don't think about what the consequences are going to be. And so it's convenient for everyone to move into these countries.
Already in 1984, I wrote an article in the NPD students report saying, raus aus der EG, leave the European common market. I was right saying there's this free possibility is the door to immigration of all the European. I was right, unfortunately.
Yes. Well, Gunter Deckert, I want to thank you very much. We're just about ready to close the program, and I'm very glad you got on because you are much more interesting than I would have been by myself. We covered everything, and I want to thank you for that. You're really on top of things, and want to wish you well in whatever you've got coming up to do. I know you just keep going, and you've been a terrific of terrific benefit to our race.
Same to you all, and thank you very much for being your guest speaker tonight.
All right, and so listeners, hope you enjoyed this program, and do come back again next week for another Saturday afternoon with Carolyn Yeager.
Thanks for listening. And be sure to visit Carolyn's website at carolynyeager.com.